Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Nothing says I love you like a big brand fragrance from Chemist Warehouse this Valentine's Day.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. A fun old Friday on the way. We caught up with Townsville Jesus. That's what we've coined her.
Yeah, she was a chick and very, very clever.
Alicia helped out a whole bunch of people.
Too many people.
Sounds to me like she was running some sort of illegal scam.
Okay, now we were all being nice and you had to go there.
62 people.
Yeah.
That'll make it to current affair.
Yeah. Nanny state. Yeah. Where's your permit, Alicia? Yeah.
Grimmers rocks up on the doorstep.
You're only allowed 48 in this house.
Also, opened a can of worms about schools and who should decide where our kids go to school. You were wrong, Greg Martin, although it came down to the fact that it was split.
What about 50-50. That woman, the homeschooling woman? You've got to listen to that bit.
Yes, indeed. And Dobbo started just fat-shaming everyone.
Dobbo,
fat bullets,
just spraying fat all over the place this morning on the show. The pot calling the kettle fat.
That's a real trans-fat podcast, so enjoy it.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Every night we're seeing terrible pictures out of Townsville. Of course, now the water is receding and people are starting to mop up. And, you know, some of the stories and the vision that we're seeing is absolutely heartbreaking.
Numb. How are you feeling?
Yeah, same, yeah.
We get so involved in our cleanup that we forget to eat.
We're exhausted, we're on adrenaline. 6-7 staff working pretty much 24-7.
There's a real sense of camaraderie in the city.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Well, all we can do is watch, but also you get an opportunity at the Reds tonight at Ballymore and the Heat are playing at the Gabba. We'll be rattling buckets there to send money up to Townsville. And Monday night, of course,
tenner for Townsville. Forex Brewery.
Sold out.
The Owl House. It's all gone. But you can still chip in online, triplem.com.au.
So we're doing whatever we can do. But can we go to Townsville right now and speak to a woman who's got an extraordinary tale to tell? Alicia, good morning and welcome to our show.
Hello, good morning.
I've heard a story about you from a Facebook friend of mine saying that you had 60 people staying at your house. Is that true?
That's correct.
Tell us the details.
Yeah, that's Sunday afternoon, bus tracker day. Yeah, the neighbours were chatting with them and we had all decided that we were going to stay. Yeah, and basically decided that plan B was our house because our house is built up that little bit higher and we have a second story that if, water was starting to come up, then they would, well, the families around us would bunk out here for the night.
So you're in the flood-impacted area, it's just that you're slightly higher.
We are, yeah. We built up probably a metre higher than the average home. And then, we've got the second story. And as it was, no water. We were one of the lucky ones. Our house was spared. No water came into our house, just the garage. I think we got about 100 mil.
So people, what, just as the water started rising, they knew that your place was okay, so they started to come?
Yeah, well, it was 6 o'clock, so we still had some sun. So the family that we had spoken to, they said, we're going to come now because the water had risen quite quickly in a matter of time. And while there was still daylight, they thought, we'll bring our stuff over now. Yeah, from then on, as it got dark, we were the only ones with lights as well because we had neighbours had hooked up generators to our house. And I think people just saw the light and started, in other houses started to panic. And
you became the evacuation centre.
I did.
And you also took on people's pets?
Yes. 9 dogs, 2 cats and a guinea pig, which most water just loves.
Is it true? 62 people, is that right?
63. We had one of the neighbours, she was taking down people's names and writing down the numbers as they came in. And at one stage, she came up to me, she said, Alicia, we're up to 63. And I just went, what? Because it didn't seem like that because we had people just sort of scattered in all the different rooms. And
Did you feed them?
I did. I'm Italian. That's what we do.
That's a challenge for Italians. It's not a stressful time.
But no, you know what? A lot of families that did come, they had cooked for that night for their family. So they had brought over their meals as well. So we had plenty of food.
Did they bring mattresses? Like how did they probably didn't sleep. Well, how did they sleep?
They did. They the families around us who had come over early, they had mattresses. We had beds. I just pulled out a heap of blankets and pillows.
How many nights did this go on for?
SES had been called by other families that were in those lower set homes as they were getting a little bit nervous. But because, SES were obviously prioritising, those families hadn't been gotten to yet. So they came over and by about 1 o'clock, SES phoned me and said, look, I believe you've got, you have 27 people in your home. And I said,
It's actually up to 63 now. And they said, right, the army is on its way.
The army? What, they want to fight?
15 inflatable boats. It was a sight to see. And they were just amazing, incredible, those people.
The army, army's been so important to the recovery. Where are we at now? We're watching the floodwaters recede each night on the TV. What's the circumstances around you now?
Looking at the front of houses this morning, all their furniture, all their belongings, just all dumped out the front. They've lost absolutely everything, and one of those houses is just across from me. It's just devastating. It's heartbreaking driving around the streets.
But you will go down, as this will be one of the great stories out of Townsville, and those neighbours will be grateful to you for the rest of their lives. Well done.
Alicia's hostel.
I'm a bit overwhelmed with all the attention that this story has brought. All I did was open my doors.
Oh, you're a great North Queenslander, and we're all thinking of you down here, okay, Alicia?
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for chatting.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, this is a really interesting survey. The What Parents Want survey of more than 3,600 Queensland parents. Mm-hmm. And they looked at particularly parents of kids who went to Queensland independent schools. And there's 115 Queensland independent schools. So they were talking to those specific parents.
Is that, can I just say, is that Catholic school? Anything that's not a state school, pretty much.
Okay. But what was interesting in this survey is that it found that more than half of parents said their kids' opinion totally or highly influenced their choice of school. So the kids had a say in where they went.
Wow.
Oh. Don't you?
Just briefly. You've got to be an adult, haven't you?
What do you mean?
Well, what do kids know when they're, because you'd be making the decision, well, grade six now, whether they're in grade six, that's only 11 going on 12. They don't know what they're doing.
See, I thought it should be higher than that because I absolutely asked my children where they wanted to go to school.
Did you really?
Yeah, of course.
Did they all go to the same school?
Yeah, they did. One of them nearly didn't, and I gave him the choice not to, but he was the youngest, my youngest who's 14, and he in the end decided that he wanted to go where his brothers went because he felt that, you know, he would know the system and so on. But I think if you don't, like, and maybe, you know, I'm out there and very different to you, but...
No, mine's from personal experience.
Okay, why, what?
Well, my two sisters went to Wavell High and I started at Chermside State School, which used to be on the corner of Gympie and Rhodey Road there, and I just figured I was going to Wavell High, but I didn't know I was getting in a lot of trouble and I was being influenced by a few people when I was in primary school, and my mother went to my grandmother and borrowed money from her and sent me to a boys' school, and that's how I ended up. I just figured I was going...
Hang on, so
Two days before school started, I was going to Wavell.
You got a tie on.
And my mother, my grandmother rang the school where I went to, and I never liked discussing it because it was just weird. My whole life got turned upside down.
It was a boys' school. It was a GPS boys' school.
And that's how I found rugby. Otherwise, I would have played rugby league, etc., and I was just... I should have been at Wavell High.
Okay, but don't
tell me... So therefore, I did the same thing to my kids. I didn't let them decide, just decide where it's
2 days before you think you're going to follow your mates to a state school, you get told you're going to a private boys' school. Don't tell me that that didn't upset you. Like, you would have been upset by it.
Maybe. I didn't think about it.
But you kind of went, well, clearly they know better.
Mum and Dad said, isn't that? Yeah. How did you decide where you went to school?
No, high school. I went to the, so I'm from Victoria. I went to the second worst primary school in the state of Victoria, has voted 3 years in a row by the paper down there, the Herald Sun.
Sorry,
the
you didn't principal, get the goal.
The principal lost $45,000 of the school's money on the pokies, right? And it was only 40 bucks a year. I don't know how she did it, right? Incredible. So I went to this terrible school, was going to be going to the state school down the road, but when I was 12, my parents one day said, hey, you're going to go do this quiz, right? Just go do a quiz because they knew I'm very competitive, right? They said, go do this quiz, see how you go. And I got a scholarship to a private school and dodged what ended up being ice high, pretty much.
I think it's the opposite. I think if you've got kids that don't want to be at a certain place, then you are just pushing stuff up a hill that you don't
need
to.
But how do they know before they get there?
Yeah.
Because kids know they want to go with their friends.
Look,
obviously, if they're in trouble, that's a different scenario. But if they want to go to a school, then they're going to do better if they're invested in the outcome, surely.
I don't think they're going to do better in the school if they're surrounded by their mates.
Well, except if they're happy. What if they're unhappy? You send them to another school where none of their friends are.
You made new friends. I did not know one other person at this school when I arrived, and everything turned out okay.
Okay, well, do you want to do this?
Parents seem to know best.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Yeah, really interesting independent study about what parents want, talking about what schools kids go to, and over half of the parents said that their kids have majorly influenced the choice of school they decide for them. And I actually think that that's okay, that children should have a say, whereas Marto doesn't. So we're asking kids should not decide. Grown-ups
make decisions.
Yeah, I know.
But don't spread it too thin. Don't spread it too young. Oh, let's see what people are saying.
Okay. So Demi from Fernie Hills.
Hi.
Morning. What do you reckon?
I think that kids are humans as well, and they should probably have some sort of a say about what happens to them 5 days a week, 6 hours a day.
And what did you do with your kids?
We chose to homeschool.
So, yeah.
Righto.
And we even just had a homeschooling project fair yesterday and everything, so it's not like the absence of education or learning or socialization or anything like that. It's just something different that we've chosen for our family because we want them to actually be in the world, not preparing for the real world in a room.
What does a day look like for you, so if you don't mind me asking?
Well, every single day is different because we get to be able to do that. We get to be able to tailor their day to exactly the people that we're with every day. We don't have to generalize for, you know, 20, 25, 30 kids and make it suit everyone. So we can do anything and everything and follow all of our interests.
So does that help prepare them for the real world by not exposing them to the real world?
How do you think school prepares them for the real world? It takes them out of it.
I just think getting around different kids.
They are around different kids. We meet up with our homeschooling group 3-4 times a week.
Oh, so you've just gotten together and made your own school. That's awesome.
Cool. That's brilliant.
Well, it's not their own school because it's their own school, I guess. They don't have people dictating every second to them. They get to have a say in it and make decisions. That's how I think people learn to make decisions, by actually making them.
Fair enough.
This
must be hard work for you. This must be full on.
I really like my kids, so I enjoy spending
time
with them.
And how old are they, finally? Demi, how old are your children?
Well, we only have one school-age child, so she's 6, and then we have a 4-year-old and a baby.
Yeah.
Demi, do you ever just play substitute teacher and just put a movie on? Go, we're not learning. The teacher had a few wines last night.
Of course you do.
Plus, every day's Mufti Day, which is sick.
Yeah, they don't have to wear a uniform.
Nice one.
Angelo of Morayfield, what do you reckon? Kids should not decide what school they go to, so says Marto. Do you agree?
No, don't put my name.
Look, what I would say is one of my sons was going to one primary school, which was one of the Brisbane Catholic education schools. He was having nothing but problems in the school. We decided when he was going into high school to take him to an independently run school and actually took the choice away from him, although we listened to his concerns. And we had days where he was actually quite upset, even fearful. But believe it or not, he went to the new school for an open day, met one friend, and he has flourished ever since. He's now in grade 11, and he's doing wonderfully. And believe it or not, he actually refers to his old school as the prison.
Wow.
Right. So you've got to listen to a kid when that happens. You do.
Yeah. So we listened to him, but we still made the choice, you
That's
know?
That's right.
Okay. You're sitting
effort.
On our fence.
He would have still been stuck. Hold on. You can't say that was a fence. Angelo made the decision for his child. You just turned
that
around somehow.
Well, except I did. No.
I don't know how you did it.
I'm very
wizardry.
Good at it.
Yes. Well, overall,
woman wizardry.
Overall, yes. we are on the fence because it's split down the middle. Can I split it on the phone? It's 50-50.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
That's so interesting. And we should do another conversation at another time about homeschooling.
Yeah.
I find that so interesting.
Now, Jack out there, who I was talking about before, one of our producers, he's left us the note and he spelt opinion O-P-I-O-N. So wherever Jack went to school, don't send your kids there.
They say money makes the world go round.
Show me the money.
Well, unless you're a flat earther, then you've got a whole lot of other issues going on.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
We've won $1 million with Triple M's Millionaire Listener.
Yeah, I'm living life in the fast lane.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody in the morning. And $1 million while you're at work. 104.5 Triple M.
The headlines, the exclusive in the Courier Mail. Bennett's heavy hit on critics. We know who he's talking about, don't we? Exclusive from Peter Bedell. Now, listen, Peter Bedell, I'm sure you've just come back from holidays. You've missed a couple of stories that we've been running on Triple M. What about, you remember that Jason Tomalolo story that Dobbo told us that the Origin over the holidays, they'd sounded him out, you know, Josh Maguire had sounded out. Dobbo told us a story 3 weeks ago. He ran it in the paper on Tuesday, this bloke, calling it an exclusive.
Which story was it?
About Tomalolo being approached to play Origin for Queensland.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, now today he's run another one, Bennett's heavy hit on critics, and this is about
Greg Inglis being overweight.
Mm-hmm. Which we heard about.
Let me just check the date. Let's go back to 11 days ago on the 29th of January when our great mate Dobbo told us this.
All the question marks at South Sydney are about their fitness. Greg Inglis, they're all saying he will not be there. I spoke to Wayne about this. He won't be there for round one or two. He's 15 kilos over his playing weight.
Fair enough, fat shaming Greg Inglis, that's fine. But Dobbo.
Good morning, everyone. Now, there's no fat shaming, especially from me.
No, I know.
Okay? Like, I want people to throw rocks about weight, it ain't me.
You were telling us the facts, and that was 11 days ago. Well, now it makes its way into the Courier Mail under an exclusive, but the exclusive part is that Wayne Bennett doesn't like you anymore. Is that it?
Because probably not, but he never
listen
did.
To this, Bennett. Greg Inglis is not fat, Bennett told the Courier Mail last night. Any suggestion he's fat is ridiculous. This talk of him being 12 or 15 kilograms overweight, that's over the top. I saw Greg, you just saw him when he first came back to training and he's fine.
Okay, does the weight make any difference to how they play?
No, well, maybe, but let me just say this now. He's had a knee injury and I stand by my source. I've got an impeccable source on this.
Who is
he's it?
No,
source?
No.
And Inglis had it all of his source.
Yes. 102 is his playing weight. That's where he played Origin last year and when he played his best football with South. He was 115. He's obviously, they've got him on the lettuce and obviously salary sticks and a bit of carrot.
Yeah.
And he's shredding as such. I could do it myself. But there's no two ways about it. He was carrying too much weight. If he was fat, I don't know if he's fat. I like to think if I put on 13 kilos, I'm not fat either, you know?
It's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas. You know?
We've got an old saying, the house is too big for the stumps, and he's got bad knees. He can't have he can't have the house being...
That's quite a good saying.
Who says that?
I do. Clearly. Okay, so...
No, so what?
Nothing. So tell me about what Wayne has rung you?
I haven't spoken to Wayne.
Does Wayne hate you now?
Oh, probably, but I mean, you know...
What's your relationship like with him?
I would say normally very good. I would say we have a very good relationship, but he's had a shot.
He's addressing you directly via this Peter
Bedell. Yeah. Look, I love Bomber, but seriously, Wayne's decided enough's enough. And I think the Sydney journos have decided to get into Greg as well. So take a bit of heat off, throw a bit of mud my way. I'm happy with that. But I didn't fat shame him. He was overweight. And I stand by my source who told him, who literally had said that, you know what, Greg was worried himself because he was 115 kilos.
Mm. Yeah, but that's called Christmas. He'll lose it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
We're still 6 weeks away from the season, so get on the lettuce.
Anyone else fat?
Me?
Exclusive. You're going to run that one, Peter Bedell?
What page is that on?
It's just the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I tell you, Channel 9, I wonder about whether they've got enough news to fill the hour sometimes. You know my thoughts on this.
Yeah, you don't like that. He doesn't like hour-long news. He only wants half an hour.
Of course. Because they're starting to run stuff like this.
He's used to having her with him all the time, constantly. He sits out in the veranda and looks out into the dark, kind of waiting for her to come back.
Her owners believe Jersey wandered off to this truck stop and someone picked her up.
Instead of calling the
number on Jersey's collar or handing her in to the local vet, she vanished.
We're talking about a dog here. It's a lost dog story.
Thank God. I thought it was a bad divorce. He just stands out there looking into the darkness, wondering when she'll come back. Like, oh, no.
There were two dogs, and the dog wandered off, and
it was a French bulldog.
French bulldog, and they're expensive, apparently. They reckon they're $6,000 for a French
bulldog.
I know. Yeah, dumb as a brick.
Are they as dumb as a brick?
They're very cute.
They are dumb dogs.
$6,000, though. Well, I wanted to bring it to their attention, and maybe this is what Channel 9 was up to. It's not just a lost dog. But what's happened, there's been a ransom demand made, okay? So someone's taken the dog, read the tag instead of ringing them. I don't know whether this is a piss take or what the story is with this thing. Are you serious? Like a dog napping is what we've got here. Yeah. And I hear about these, but normally people, what do people do? Like you hear about them occasionally, people jump fences, steal a dog, and then sell
apparently it's on the rise. It's also in today's Courier Mail saying that people have been nabbing dogs.
All right. Yeah, well, this is the story in the paper this morning. But what they've done... there is a person, and this is how many people must, a person who's called a pet detective. There is actually a pet theft investigator.
Ace Ventura.
A dog.
Jim Carrey did it in the 90s.
And here she is, all right? So this person is called in to find dogs after they've been kidnapped or stolen.
It is law. You cannot keep the animal. It's property theft.
Okay, now I heard her and I went, is this person? Now the owners of the dog that paid this, how much do you think you pay a
pet.
It would be
theft
by the hour. It'd like be a private investigator. So maybe, I don't know.
I reckon it'd be some sort of scoop on deal. It's $7 and you get 3 weeks worth of pet detective work.
Would you pay $1,850 to a pet detective who hasn't found the dog?
I would pay if you found the pooch.
No fine, no pay.
Yeah, that's it. Just like those, you know, ambulance chaser people.
$1,850.
And no dog.
No dog. They've also done this to try to find the dog.
Desperate to find her, her family searched on foot, used multiple drones, even paid a psychic for clues. Then, a week later, a text message was sent demanding a $10,000 ransom for Jersey.
A psychic.
What are we doing, holding paws? Like,
well, maybe there are pet communicators. There are psychic pet communicators. So maybe you could ask.
What, like a seance. And it goes W-O-O-F. Yeah. Oh, woof. And it has said woof.
He's out there. He's somewhere there. Nick Cody, I love your passion for sport. Went to the Bullets last night.
Going off to the Heat tonight.
The Heat tonight and rattling the buckets for to raise money for Townsville. And where are you going? Before you got this job, you already bought the tickets for Sunday.
I'm flying down to Melbourne for the UFC.
That is extraordinary.
Okay. And then back Sunday night. It might be one of those planes that gets turned around before it makes it.
What?
Just a man up the back shadow boxing.
Oh, God. That will be a wild one.
Who's kicking whose head in?
Israel Adesanya, who's the new upcoming superstar, New Zealander, and then Robert Whittaker, middleweight champ. Kiwi, but we've stolen him.
Oh, I see, Kiwi.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Anyway, what I want to talk about, there's four events in 1 week. So you had UFC, Heat, Bullets, but Monday was the biggest day. And I want to reflect the fact that I watched the first quarter with you, and you love your Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You love your NFL. I want to, before this week goes, I want to address this, that thing is so big. I think I told you there was only 100 million people watch it. They said one of the lowest viewing audiences for the last 10 years. And I'm not sure why. Maybe the teams weren't popular or whatever. 100 million people watch that game. And it's big in our life. It's big in a lot of people's life. It makes me think the state of origin does not have to be three games anymore. I think it's gone. It's out of control. It went this last year. It went for 6 weeks. If I explain state of origin, they play on a Wednesday. They play on a Wednesday 3 weeks later. They then play on a Wednesday 3 weeks later, and it ruins the whole competition of rugby league. And I looked at that Super Bowl. If we made it more special, because they send that Super Bowl, cities bid on it, don't they?
Yeah.
Cities with enormous stadiums bid on it, and a million people rolled into Atlanta.
Well, remember my friend Chris Whitnell, who we spoke to? He was the MC at my wedding, and he took his son over for the Super Bowl. And he actually said, unlike Origin, it's an event that goes for a week, and everyone's celebrating it.
This is what Origin could become. Instead of the same people going to every game, same rusted on people, make it a bigger event. And I don't give a stuff. I'm now of the belief that you can send it to Tokyo. You can send it anywhere in the world.
Okay, Tokyo wouldn't care.
No, but that's
start in Australia.
The thing is, they don't have to get. Well, I'd be happy because they were talking about, isn't the third one in Perth this year? Just have the one state of origin game in Perth. Can you imagine? No, Perth, Western Australian government would give the rugby league $50 million because they would know people will go to Perth and they'd take their wives and girlfriends and whatever else and
Optus
they'd go
Stadium.
To
They've just built Optus Stadium
that's
in Perth.
I mean.
I've been there.
That's I would great. Try because they'll go, oh, but we won't have the revenue that we get from three games. We'll charge three times the ticket. People will take a 10-day origin holiday to Margaret River, to Broome, to Exmouth.
Think about all the small businesses that get so much money three times a year because, like, people order pizzas and they get excited and they have people over for barbecues and they do that three times,
not one.
Money talks,
Robin. If I said no, you start that NRL doesn't care about, rugby league doesn't care about those small businesses. They're getting money for nothing, those businesses. I'm talking about rugby league goes, I don't know what the figure is. Let's say they make $10 million from Origin, okay? Mm. They can sell it to the South Australian government. They've just got their new
keep the ticket prices the same, but make the state government.
You reckon by three.
I did love your idea for the itinerary for a state of origin fan going to Perth, state of origin followed by Margaret River.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I just want to watch them savages smash into each other and have a nice Chardonnay.
No, that's possible. I don't like it.
All right, the wine region.
I reckon three's too many. I've had enough of three games. It's stretched too far and it goes too long. Have one origin. Can you imagine the build-up to the origin, not the State of Origin series sponsored by so-and-so.
Okay.
The origin match every year.
Steve of Mobile. What do you reckon?
Agree and disagree, Marto. Yeah, good idea, but I think we love the anticipation. You've got one game, one wins, and then it's a draw, so you love that third game and you're excited for a couple of weeks. So what they maybe should do is have it over 3 weeks instead of the 6 weeks. It shortens it out.
Yep.
Not such a long wait. You don't have that hangover after 6 weeks wait and disappointment if your team loses. So, yeah, good idea. But also, you know, the State of Origin isn't what we could call a worldwide game. NFL is probably one of those games I'll watch when it's Super Bowl, but I won't watch the regular season.
Can I put it to you? You ever been to Bali?
No, mate. That's on purpose, I haven't been.
Yeah, all right. They build a stadium there. I reckon 50,000 people would go over to Bali for a 10-day holiday, and therefore the Indonesian tourism would buy the game for $40 million, build this stadium, and they'd make heaps of money and everything would be beautiful. That's where it'll get to, because sport's about money.
Okay.
Steve, I understand, mate. No one's going to agree with me here.
Randy of Mitchelton.
People can't look far enough into the future like I can.
You he's a visionary.
I am a rugby league futurist. Who have we got?
Dear Randy. Randy of Mitchelton, what do you think?
Well, I just think you should check him to see if he's had a stroke, mate. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. I agree with Steve. Yes, 3 weeks is great, but apples and oranges, mate. Super Bowl. Yeah. Welcome back, Brando. You're a funny little muppet.
Oh, thank you. I did not know what you were going to say. I'm glad you said funny little muppet.
So he's kicked me on the way in and he's patted you on the way out.
Yeah. Well, ask him. He had a stroke. That is rough. To be fair, Marto was asking who's cooking toast a few minutes ago. So
Big breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast, waking you up weekdays from 5:30.
Okay, so every night on the news for the last week, we have been seeing the devastation that has befallen Townsville. And, you know, every night we've also seen some of the residents who have not been coping. Like last night, there was Wally.
All the furniture's buggered, so that's all going. We've got clothes.
Wally, that was so sad.
And you wanted to give him a big hug, and that is partly why we're doing our Tenor for Townsville on Monday night. Nick's putting it together as a comedy night, and you guys can donate lots of money. We're going to be at the Heat and also the Reds. But there is one town up in North Queensland who is actually loving the floods.
What?
Yeah, okay. So there's a town called Groper Creek, and it is 100 k's from Townsville.
Oh, that's where the monsoon moves slowly down to.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's 17 k's from Home Hill, and it's on the Burdekin River.
It's huge, the Burdekin River.
Okay, 62 people live at Groper Creek, but every year it floods. So every year they celebrate this time.
Oh.
So the guys from Nine News went to Groper Creek last night.
Would there be alcohol involved in their celebration?
Well, have a listen.
We've got enough supplies for another week or so.
You did get a bit worried.
We look forward to it every year.
Why? Why do you look forward to it?
Oh, it's nothing like hopping in a boat instead of a car. It's going to stay up for another 2 weeks at least.
When it comes fast, it gets a bit anxious for a while.
Watch TV or play games on the iPad.
Liquid refreshments are pretty common.
What a place.
Groper Creek. I'm just saying, 17 k's from Home Hill. Man. If you want to go to a flood every year, that's the place to go.
Groper Creek, I assume to live there, you've got to be unemployed with a positive outlook.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Now, guys, I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day, a stand-up comic from Sydney, Ray Badron, great bloke. We're having a chat. His brothers are very successful.
So he's one of three boys?
One of three, yep. And I reckon his brothers are outdoing him, right? One of his brothers was really high up at Microsoft and left that job, started his own company that's now publicly listed.
Ooh.
His other brother has just started a company called Spriggy that our tech expert, Trevor Long, was on the Today Show yesterday talking about it.
This is Spriggy, and what's different here is they actually get a physical card. So in the app, I've allocated that money. They can go down the shops because these are normal cards. They can swipe, they can tap and go, and they can see their balance. So my kids now can scroll through their phone and they can see how much money they've got available to actually spend, but it encourages saving because when they take it out of their normal account and put it into saving, they can no longer spend it on their card.
I know kids who've done this and with parents.
Like futuristic dollar mines.
So you do a job, don't you? And then the kid, it's done in an app?
Yeah, you can tick things off and they can set...
Transferring pocket money.
Yeah, parents can transfer money. They can turn the card on or off at any time. There's like 200,000 people around Australia using it,
and
right?
It's growing heaps.
Unbelievable.
How does he make money?
They're his two brothers.
How does he make money?
The app.
I'm not sure.
The app.
Hopefully the banking commission.
And the number of people that use it.
It's a dollar and there's 200,000, then off you go.
And it's going bloody great, right? So his two brothers, one started a company, the other one started this bank. And my mate is known for, during uni games on the Gold Coast a few years ago, just got fully nude and ran down Cavill Ave. So I reckon he might be being outdone by the brothers. And I just want to hear, are you outdoing your siblings or are your siblings outdoing you? I want to hear stories, brothers, sisters, taking off in the world.
Okay, Greg Martin, you are one of four children.
I never speak about them because I don't want to embarrass them. My older sister was the top-ranking female executive at Telstra for a while. She's now retired in her 50s.
And she's the one that lives on the Gold Coast.
So
and you go and sponge
of
off her beautiful
Telstra,
unit.
I've heard of that.
We thought she would never describe what she actually did. We thought she may, and I still think, she may have been a spy of some sort. So that's one.
Okay.
She would never explain what her job was, all right?
Okay,
so maybe,
good.
Working for Telstra.
She was a spy.
Know.
Great.
Our other sister, we're all really proud of her, had the Logan funerals
Funeral
for
home.
30 years.
All right.
So one
job.
Sister's a spy and the other sister gets rid of bodies. Hold on. I think so.
All right.
And then your brother.
He runs shopping centres.
Yeah, and he's really
and
high
I
up.
I speak into a stick.
Yeah.
It's called a microphone.
Whatever.
I reckon you're it,
stick
Greg
with
Martin.
Some foam. Can we talk to somebody else?
Okay, Ray of Jim Boomba.
Hey, guys. Morning.
Hey, g'day, Ray. What, now, what happens?
Hey,
who's mother. Talk us through the fam.
Mate, my sister. I'm extremely jealous of her.
Mm. Yep. Why? What do you do first?
I'm an electrician and I'm a
Sparky,
wannabe muso.
Right,
okay. I've met Mardo a few times.
Ray's in a band.
Oh,
ah, very okay. good guitarist. Yes, mate.
Well, I was in a band. I'm now solo. So, but anyway, back to my sister. She owns a pub.
Oh,
I do.
That would hurt.
So, she owns the Chindra Hotel down there near on the border of Albury.
Yeah, I know the New South Wales. Oh, mate, that's magnificent. So,
and I haven't been able to. She's been down there for 8 years, and I haven't been able to get down there to appreciate it.
She owned a pub for 8 years.
And you haven't been there.
And you haven't been there.
And you're a solo muso. Come on, mate. Get down there. Do some covers, right?
She won't even pull me down. That's how tight she is.
Well, she may own a pub, but does she have a meat tray? Probably because meat trays are exclusively found at pubs. But you got one too now. Paddamore's Meat, serving in the Redlands since 1979. Every day is gourmet at Paddamore's Meat.
My kids can eat tonight.
Good on you, Ray. They
sound like Sparky.
Real dire times at your joint. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.